analyzing spectrum. All right. So it is, what is it, the 19th?
The 19th
is the work session. It's starting at 5:30. And we are going to utilize the agenda, which says the first thing on the agenda is resident concern East Patrol road traffic speed issue. So we had a resident voice their concern. Well, pretty much it says it, yep. Sums it up right there. We've been extremely successful in getting speed studies. I have no problem with the study.
Let me ask you a question. It's in Radisson.
Yeah.
Isn't the area a 30-mile-an-hour speed zone?
I don't know.
You know, Kevin?
Is all of
Radisson... Patrol Road, I think everything in Radisson is 30.
Even West Entry?
No, except for
West Entry.
Willett?
Willett. Do you know, Jerry?
I think Willett's 45.
Where are we talking? Down by my shop?
Is Radisson?
Radisson.
East, well, we're considered Radisson.
Yeah, but
East Patrol Road.
Going toward River Road, I believe.
Yeah, it's out there.
Yeah, because I'm West Entry.
I don't think it would be 45.
No.
I don't think anything's 45 other than Drake's to Willett.
Yeah. Well, he's.
And that
he's,
isn't even 30. That's 30 once you get to.
He's also asking for some stop signs.
Well, yeah, he's stop just. Signs there. That's really. Yeah,
I don't even know if it's marked.
Most of the streets in Madison.
He's not asking for a speed reduction. He's asking that the roads be posted.
Properly posted.
They may not be asking.
Posted with what?
Speed limits. I'm reading his complaint that says he's not asking for any kind of reduction of speed because he says East Patrol Road is posted at 30 miles an hour and the Glacier Ridge Road is not posted with any speed limit sign. If we make the presumption it is 30 miles an hour, and I think that's a safe presumption, he's asking for a sign.
Speed limit sign.
That's an easy one.
So, and then he's also asking that...
There's a stop sign he wants,
a four-way stop. And I don't know anything about the protocol for determining whether a four-way stop is, but I just as soon send you out on your way here, Jared.
Well, a four-way stop, that generally requires some kind of action with traffic, like a study or
something. Study.
Huh?
Yeah, a study.
But the speed limit, if it's already a designated 30, we can put up some signs. That's...
Well, how do we know that?
I think it's more than that. It has to do. It's a combination issue. It's speed. It's issues with the speed on that road, as well as the stop signs.
What we can do, we can find out what it is supposed to be. You know, is there supposed to be a four-way there? Are they supposed to be 30 mile an hour all throughout Radisson? And we can take a look at. Doing some signage in other places too. I mean, you drive through Radisson, you don't really see any speed limit signs. You know, if you post the main entries, you know, area speed limit 30. You know, if we kind of border Radisson out, that kind of tells everybody this whole area is 30. Now, as far as a stop sign, I think we have to do further checking.
All right. So, can you do that, Jerry? Can you just investigate what the protocol
I'm
is?
I'm going to make a note right now. And I'll give
do you have his complaint?
Pardon me?
You have his?
Yeah, I'll take it. I haven't got it. No.
But
is there?
There's one on the probably on the table there.
Take a look.
It was sent to Dina.
It's under a work session item.
Where would he want a four-way stop? There's no. It's only T's.
No, he said it.
He has it listed there where he wants it.
Install on East Patrol at Oberon Drive intersection.
Oberon?
Hey, Ashley.
Okay. The intersection of East Patrol and Oberon Drive is where he wants. And I'm not saying we should do that. I just think that our highway superintendent should investigate and find out what the protocol is and then come back to us with a recommendation.
Yeah, why don't we'll keep it on the work session. I think we've taken this as far as we can go based on his complaint.
It's inside the...
I'll get you a copy of it.
Does it say work session item?
Does it say work session item 419 on the cover, Jerry?
First page.
You don't get work session.
Oh, you don't get work session?
Yeah.
I'll get you a copy.
Okay.
You can have this, actually. Have it right now, because I think we're done talking about it.
So. Do you have the thing on the back of that? Because there's other things on the back, cell phones.
Yeah, secret stuff. Give me that. That's,
Sorry. Yeah. I didn't remember when I was coming back from that.
Okay. All
right. All right, so... So we're going to have Jerry check
Jerry's
into that.
Jerry's going to check on...
I certainly will.
...the lack of speed limit signs.
But I'll go beyond that and check on...
Yeah, look at the whole area.
I'll do the whole of Radisson and see what maybe is needed.
All right, we got to answer this guy.
You know, just without belaboring this, I don't think that's going to solve his concerns. I think that's a good... It's a step in the right direction, but he's going to come back to us and say nobody's observing those speed limits. And I think that's what the issue is here. So I don't think we can do anything about it except to maybe let the sheriff's department know we've got a resident concern. Mm-hmm. You know, they can't stop what they're doing, but, you know, just to put it on their radar.
Right.
Not literally, but put it...
Yeah, know, just, sure.
And maybe that's the age-old problem with all of
oh,
this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
People ask us for a reduction, we give it, but if it's not enforced...
Exactly. Right. Well. But, you know, having said that, the Village of Liverpool... Bob knows this and I know this, you know, are sitting there on 370 on the way to Liverpool. The park rangers and sheriffs are on Onondaga Lake Parkway this time of year when the speed limit, or no, actually in the fall when the speed limit gets reduced. So they do it. They do.
You know if you speed in Liverpool, you're getting a ticket.
And you know right here in Beeville, right by, you know, what's his name? It's the new chiropractor
Smoky
place, Smoky Hollow. There's, oh, oh yeah, not always.
That's the beauty of having a police department.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can have a focus in the area, but when you have to outsource to troopers and sheriffs.
Well, he doesn't have the sheriff satellite office, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Supposedly, I don't know.
But you mean a trooper barracks?
No, the sheriffs. Radisson contracts with the sheriffs to have
some. Oh, yeah, they have an enhanced patrol.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know the hours or, you know, when they're there, but you can ask them to check
it. Yeah, cool.
And what about the stop sign?
We'll have Jerry, check on the protocol for that.
If it's in this complaint, I'll...
But I think it's... I mean, he just can't throw up stop signs.
No. But let me... Give me your take on it.
Yeah.
And then if you think it's warranted, maybe we request...
request the intersection be...
Analyzed.
Relabeled.
Excellent.
All right, lease of vacant space in Town Hall. We had a pyramid... brokerage firm come in and take a look at the space. They were impressed with it, impressed with the location. Came up with a lease agreement that I forwarded to you and Tony. Tony asked them to make some changes to it. Those changes were made so that I forwarded to you the most recent agreement. The reason why we went this route, as opposed to like leasing it ourselves, is one, we're not in the commercial leasing business. There's a lot of ins and outs to leasing commercial space. They have a representative that's made aware of needs. I mean, they actually shop us out when opportunities, you know, it's like any other real estate person, you know, they work for us to try to find a tenant. They'll work to negotiate an amount that both parties are comfortable with. It's space that lends itself to certain types of businesses that they focus on. As a professional organization, I think it's a good fit. Given CORE was another option, given the negative press lately, I thought that Pyramid and might be a better option for us as far as a professional organization to work with. And so that's what they proposed. We don't have to act on that tonight. If you want some more time to look at it. But it's exciting to think that, that he was excited about it and our ability to market that space and get a tenant. You know, maybe for 2 or 3 years with a couple 2 or 3 year extensions. I really don't see our needs as far as a municipality growing into that space for the next 5 or 10 years anyways. And it's space that, you know, lent itself to...
We own it, we have it, we need it.
Yep, yep.
And you said Tony has looked at this?
Yes, Tony Rivisigno looked it over, and they made changes to the terms that were favorable to us.
So this is an agreement with Pyramid.
With Pyramid.
Do we know what an agreement would look like with a tenant?
No, because a lot of that's going to depend on what the tenant needs. So if they need like a rebuild in the space, we have to price that out, figure out how much it would cost us, and we would roll that into the cost of the rental space. Another reason to go to an outside organization is because obviously this is what they do every single day. They know the ins and outs, because we're obviously going to be dealing with someone else's attorney. So it's good to have somebody on our side who knows that world.
Okay. Well, this is new to me, and you saw my email to Tony, and he got back to all of us by saying it's a standard, typical, run-of-the-mill kind of agreement, right?
Yep.
But you know me. Basically, we're obligated to pay 6% of the aggregate gross rents as soon as we sign an agreement with a tenant. So we're not going to get money from the tenant, but we're going to upfront money back to Pyramid right away.
As the finder's fee, yeah.
As the finder's fee, so that's one. And I'm just a little bit, not concerned, but just questioning, what happens if we back out of this? It says if the number four, if the property is withdrawn from the market, blah, 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 we still have to pay that 6%. Even if we decide, we don't really want to do this, or if the tenant walks away after, I'm not in this business.
Yeah, so I think that would be in the unlikely event that somehow we reneged on the agreement, or we decided that after an agreement was in place, we wanted to keep the space. I mean, I think that it's in that situation where Pyramid has gone out.
They've done their job.
They did what we asked them to do, so that's kind of like a cost of
backing out.
And it says if during the term of this agreement or within 1 year after the termination of the agreement, all or any part of the property sold, we still have to pay the broker a commission of 7% of the sales price if we were to... I guess I want to know from you or Tony, what is our back out rights with this thing? Let's just say we enter into an agreement, and what are you saying we're going to rent? The normal rental is going to be a multi-year rental, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, it, a lot of it's going to depend on the needs of the lessee.
If they want us to build 10 cubicles in there, then we probably want a five-year agreement.
Yeah.
The more money,
it depends on how much money we need to sink into it. It depends on what they want to do with the space. There's going to be a lot of things. Do they want use of, how much parking are they going to want to have exclusive rights to? I mean, there's a lot of things that need to be worked out. And again, that's why I really think that we'd be well served.
I think so too. So what are they saying we could expect? How much a month or how much a year?
I don't know. He ballparked it like $3,000 to $3,300 a month. So it could be...
So $36,000, and we would have to pay 6% of that. So
$1,800, a little over $1,800 bucks.
Yes, we could swing that. Okay.
Because the amount of time that it would take, I mean, it just, I don't know. I'm not confident that we have the expertise to get the max for the property, and I think that's our obligation to the taxpayers. I mean, this is their building, and in order for us to maximize the return on that space,
So what's the next step with this?
I want there to be a comfort level. There's no major hurry on this.
Okay.
It's our space, so
I'd like to read it through it again.
Read through it again.
Okay.
When Tony comes in 2 weeks, we'll leave it on the agenda, just like the first item.
Okay, good.
And go from there. All right. Next is...
Joe, you didn't put farm animals on the work session. We were going to talk about that tonight.
Yeah, we can add. We can add okay, that good. At the end. Surplus items for the highway department, Jerry.
Okay. We have numerous surplus items that have been laying there unused. I think I showed you some of them, Joe.
Yep.
Okay. The easiest way to do this is to just give you a quick rundown. Okay. There you see a pile of, there's like five or six bumpers, brand new. When we buy new trucks, they come on the truck. Okay. Well, when we put the plow harnesses and that on, they're taken off. So we have all these bumpers sitting out back of the salt shed. Want to dispose of them. Whatever means possible, you know, try and lay them out, take a picture, put them on one of the auction sites. That's what I want to do with all these things, see what I can bring back to us from these things. So there's the bumpers, okay? They're all brand new. Been sitting there for years. We don't want to look at the mower. Okay, the crane. This is a stationary crane. Lifts, I think the capacity is 2 ton, all right? It was part of the building complex when we got it. This crane, if you will, requires an annual inspection and certification, and the cost of that before anything is found wrong with it, okay, and repaired, is, if you add these two together, I might as well say about $1,500. Okay, to have it inspected. This is one vendor that does that kind of work. They're one of the closest to us. They're out of Buffalo. All right. So I kind of said, you know, how much do we use this thing? The thing that limits us is the fact that it's a mounted crane. The only time we use this is in the yard. And if you look, you see the little concrete catch basin collars laying around there. They don't weigh all that much, but it's handy to pick them up and put them on a truck to take them to a site. However, when you get to a site, we're using like the forks on a skid steer or a chain in a payloader bucket, a rated chain, obviously, to pick them up and put them in place. So this is just a matter of convenience. Now, for that kind of money every year for an inspection and or whatever repairs it might need, I mean, it's been there a long time, so has never been inspected.
So we haven't even been doing the inspection?
Nope.
Yeah. So you could lift these things with other...
Yes. Now, the thought process we had was, you know, liquidate these surplus items, and this is one of those instances where something that would be more useful in our yard, since we're all asphalt and in our shop we're all concrete, because we do have times we want to lift things, and during those times the forks and the skid steer might not be there. The payloader might be out on a site. The backhoe, like today, was out on a site too. So when something comes in, a vendor delivers something, like a catch basin or whatever, we need to have a way to take it off. And we were considering the idea of something that doesn't need an annual inspection like that. You can buy a reconditioned, we'll call it a yard forklift, pretty cheap. So probably for what it would cost for 3 annual inspections, you could have a forklift that'll be more utilized by us in the yard, in the building. You can, something else I've seen, and I'm just going to throw it out there, we just changed all the lights in our shop. The shop ceiling's probably 25 feet high inside. Changed them to the LEDs. Did not like the way that we did that, because you should have had some sort of a man lift to do it. Okay, I'm not going to get into details, but if you had a forklift, you can get a OSHA compliant basket that goes right on the forks. You got to pick a man up to do something in our shop, which anything you do is up in the air there. So the method they used to do this, I was pretty shaky about. You know, it'd be awful hard to explain if somebody got hurt. So that's another item that if we deem we could do something like investigate the cost of a reconditioned forklift versus what could we get out of this crane lift. I mean, I can think of numerous people that would love to have that, that wouldn't be under the need of having it inspected every year.
Yeah, because they would be private. So why don't you do what you just said? Why don't you just investigate?
So I'm just kind of looking to throw it out there that one thing's going to kind of wash another a little bit here, hopefully. Fuel tank up at the Lysander barn. Okay, it's been sitting there for years. It was repainted, but we haven't used it.
When's the last time we put gas in it?
No idea.
Is there gas in it?
No, nothing. It's been sitting there, but at least it was painted, and there is an electric pump on it, and it does have a value. So I've already had two or three people say they'd be interested in buying it. However, in all fairness to everybody, we would put it on an auction site. The few people that it... But the people that have expressed an interest, once posted, you let them know. It's on the site. Go for it.
Do you know why we have it in the first place?
Well, that was a highway barn.
Okay, and
that's where we store the mower, store one of the sweepers, store the roller and trailer. It's right up in Lysander next to their new firehouse. Okay? But it's an asset that we definitely could liquidate because we don't use it. We have some plows that I can't even date sitting over there before some of my guys' time, okay? This one happens to have holes in the blade, so it's not worth repairing for use. Joe and I took a walk around, looked at some of these things, so he got to see them up close and personal. There is a frame on the back of that we may keep. Okay, because it's a frame that may fit our trucks. Okay, but the blade itself, take it to Weitzman. You know, but we'll post it along with the other things first if someone's got some
need,
because the things that go along with that, and there's just another shot of it. You see the frame on the backside? That's very similar to the frames we use currently. You know, they haven't changed much, so we may just take that and lean it up with a couple others we have. There's the wing to it, okay? And then there's another wing, okay? There's another wing, okay? That wing's 14 feet long, okay? That wing is older than I am probably, okay? But that used to be used when we had a grader. They used to do something to use it to shoulder the roads. And we don't even have a grader anymore, so it just sits there. So the thing I've been told is some people will buy these, and they'll put a mount on the back and use them as straight push blades for parking lots. So we'll try to get something out of them that way before they go to the scrapyard. So light poles. That might be harder for you to see. There's a bunch of light poles over there. Okay, I don't know. They've been there a long time. They're like 4x4 steel posts. They're similar to the ones you got right out here, similar to a couple of them we have in our lot. Do we know where they came from? They might have been part of that installation at some time over there, but they've been laying there for years. So they're kind of a throw it up there. If someone, you know, lay a couple of them out there, get some pictures, get them on one of these auction sites. If we can get more than scrap metal price out of them, great. If we can't, Weitzman can make them into new rims or something.
How tall?
Huh?
How tall?
Oh, they're probably 30 feet.
You know, I had a conversation with my brother, and I didn't put the two together until you just brought that up again. He looked at, my brother's in the lighting business. He works for Ephesus Eaton, and they sell LED lighting. And he had mentioned the Pop Warner football fields in Lysander. And he mentioned the wood poles that we have at the park, and was concerned about whether or not they were even compliant, safety compliant, or what they were. So Pop Warner might have an interest in upgrading the fixtures.
They're there.
So
I don't know what there is. Maybe three or four of them. Maybe five.
So maybe from a facility standpoint, we could use those in our park.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, that's. Yeah, so Jerry,
make a note, make contact, find out quick because I'm tired of looking at.
I know.
So
if we
I
could
try
ask,
to turn assets into cash if we're not using them. So
if you could do that same inventory and have the just give us an inventory list.
Yeah.
Because at some point we will we'll make a determination that that is all surplus. Mm-hmm. And once we make that determination, that frees you up to do what you want to do.
I'll try to get us our most out of it.
Absolutely.
Like I say, if I can't get buyers on the hook for it, they'll go to the scrapyard. Steel is up right now, so mm-hmm. now's as good a time as any.
Yeah, I like the way you're thinking. Declutter. Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, yeah. there's more, but not tonight. Okay.
All right, so yeah, check out the crane forklift there.
What do you want me to do? I mean, I know what they are.
Well,
I'll have to call a couple vendors and see what a reconditioned forklift with just enough tires to be able to go outside with it on the asphalt. You know, some of them have little hard tires. You take them outside, forget it.
Right.
One snowflake and you ain't moving.
Okay, usually, so just, and this is my opinion, I'm 1 of 5 on the board. In the future, you know, throughout the year, you're going to find, you're going to realize that we need certain pieces of equipment for certain operations. And you'll make proposals that we buy the pieces of equipment. And so far, we've been able to, you know, mm-hmm. accommodate that. You know,
well, I'm making a budget list.
Yep.
Trust me.
With a sweeper and now with a possible forklift. And I like the way you're thinking, possibly use the scrap dollars that we generate to pay for something like that. Because obviously, if we go without a crane, which we've been utilizing,
which we should,
that creates a need for an alternative. And what you've come up with is, I think, more flexible for that yard.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So so in this instance, you know, I'm totally open to looking at a piece of equipment in this fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
But that's out of the norm for how the board would look at buying equipment. Yeah. And we just, but in the way you presented it, mm-hmm. I definitely see if we can, we might be able to pay for the equipment just based on the scrap that you've identified.
No guarantee.
No guarantee,
there.
But I like the way you're thinking.
Yeah.
I like
the way you're thinking. Yeah.
If you can, you can.
Shot at it.
So that's all. See, get a ballpark on the, give us an equipment list you want us to list as surplus.
Okay.
And then you go out and do your thing. Either list it on an auction site or scrap it.
I'll give you the list first, and you know, I just wanted to make you aware I'm trying to move in that direction.
No,
I
appreciate it, and thanks for taking the time again to invite me out there and show me firsthand as well. I mean, yeah, this stuff is not, this is Swiss cheese. I mean, it's brown Swiss cheese.
Okay. So.
But it's still heavy.
It's still heavy.
Oh, don't go anywhere.
Don't leave.
Brush pickup.
I knew that was coming.
Brush pickup.
Yeah. That's one that I keep getting asked about as you're out and about in the town. Now, I know I've been made aware of, I'll put it that way. I don't know firsthand, but I've been made aware of, like, our whole Radisson area. Kevin, you live in Radisson, right?
Yeah, they do brush pickup.
Okay. So it's, like, built into your homeowners?
Yeah, it's part of the maintenance.
Okay. So all the other areas of the town, these housing tracts and that, I keep getting asked, what do we do with our brush? What do we do with our brush? You know, people want to trim their tree in their front yard or whatever. And they do have a problem. There isn't a real readily handy way to get rid of it. And the thing I keep getting hit with is, well, they do it in Clay, they do it in North Syracuse, they do it in the Village, they do it in Liverpool. They're right. They do. But each one of these entities does it in a different manner. You know, Village does it. You know, they just put a list out in the paper. I think I read it last week. You know, we're going to do this, this, and this. I'm not looking for anything astronomical to help our residents. I'm looking for, you know, ideas as to, I kind of made a list, you know, what level of brush service do we want to do. And I'm talking just brush. I don't want your yard clippings, you know, just the brush. Because the things we find, if we don't provide this service, they end up in the backyards. They end up in the drainage swales. They end up caught in the culvert pipes. And, you know, people are going to dump it someplace. We get it in our ditches, you know, drive-by dumpings, we'll call it, on the back roads. So it is a nuisance to us when people don't have a way to readily get rid of the stuff. We don't want them burning it. You know, the burn bans are always an issue, you know. So I just kind of, this is just an introduction to the thought process, and I'm labeling this a special project, and you'll get more on that later, okay? But, you know, I've got things jotted down, what level of service, what cost, how often, you know, what types of brush and debris do we want to pick up? You know, how are we going to dispose of it? I already have a lot of ideas on these topics, okay? I just don't want to go that crazy here tonight. Obviously, costs, equipment and manpower, but we have the equipment. You know, we have a payloader. We have an older 10-wheel dump truck, you know. I mean, so we can provide some level of service with minimal new costs incurred. Do we want to charge the people, you know, so much to do this service? Now, some of the people I've run into have said to me, hey, you know, I don't care if every resident paid another $20 a year in their highway tax portion of their bill and you provided the service, man, we'd whistle Dixie. So we've got a lot of, I'll call them suburban housing tract areas where there isn't a good way. The trashmen don't want to take it, you know. We don't want them to throw it at the curb and just have it lay there all summer. So
I'm very familiar.
I'm looking for ideas.
I'd love to work with you on this. Obviously, the village does this.
I don't want to provide their level.
Yeah. So, but there's a lot to it.
Yeah.
Probably a lot more than you think.
Yes.
Because it's not always.
Right.
It's not always brush. You know. It's
well, that's what I'm saying.
Brush.
If we can,
there's other stuff.
We have to put limits on this.
Well, and then I gave you the 360. You know, that those regulations today. You want to check that out a little bit before you start.
I'm leery of this
picking
idea.
More stuff up from the curb.
I'm only presenting it to you because I'm being asked about it all the time.
Yeah,
that's appropriate.
Yeah, I get asked about it on occasion too. Go ahead, Bob. I don't want to cut you off.
I was going to say there's lots of things the town doesn't do that homeowners have to do. If you have a couch that you want to throw out, you've got to figure out how to get it to Oprah on your own or a television. And I don't see why a branch of a tree is really any different than that.
It's funny you mentioned the television. You realize that we do the recycling right at the highway barn.
I know.
Okay.
That's a grandfather type of thing, which I'm not so sure why we even do that. But my point here is this: in this community, we really run the gamut from places like where Kevin lives, he's already paying for the service.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got communities like that have homeowners associations, and you have some that don't, and then you've got those who live out on country roads.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just afraid of this being a real Pandora's box that may get opened, which up until 2018 April, somehow this town has survived without providing the service.
But I will say, as I drive down Van Road, there's two big Home Depot bags of leaves
in the ditch.
I round the corner and on Fenner Road, someone's Christmas tree.
Yep.
In the ditch.
We find the Christmas trees all the time in the ditch. You know, and this is a problem,
and
you know, because we're dealing with it anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's no compensation for dealing with it.
So the most likely scenario in order to provide this type of service, given the fact that we're in a town environment.
Mm-hmm.
Is if you get a phone call from Clinton Heights from someone inquiring about, geez, did you guys ever think about this? I wouldn't mind paying $20 a year, blah, blah. A word track you might consider is, you know, we've heard these phone calls before. Would you be willing to talk to your neighbors to see or to get a petition signed?
Mm-hmm.
And because if it comes from the grassroots, from the homeowners up to government instead of government down, it typically has a much better chance of
support
because it's not government coming down and providing a service and everyone getting up in arms about. But if we're responding to a neighborhood wide request and we can create a district,
right?
That's typically how we provide services in towns. We create districts.
My thought on it was not an ongoing thing either. It's like I'll just use some examples: Clinton Heights, Abbott Farms. You know, I'm going down 370; those housing tracks. All right, the week of, we're going to swing through here and grab your brush. That's it for the spring, and then maybe in the late fall again. You know, not a all the time
you're
thing.
You're talking two different things. I mean, right. Joe, if you're suggesting, and I think the last point you made is the most important, that, you know, if you want this, keep in mind it would turn into a district cost.
Yeah.
Right.
When, you know, because there's nobody on this planet who wouldn't sign a petition that would say, I would like this.
Right.
It's going to be free. Yeah, of course I want it. Yeah. So it needs to be really clear as a bell that this is not going to be a free service.
No.
And
the people that have approached me have all expressed the interest in, hey, you know, I don't care if it costs me a few bucks. It'd be just nice to be able to get rid of this stuff.
Yeah, so I guess...
I don't know if there's enough of them.
Yeah, the order the order in which I see this unfolding is you get a phone call or you follow up on people that have already called you.
Mm-hmm.
You got that information. Just say, you know, the board was open to researching it. However... You know, we need to gauge the support in your neighborhood because in order to provide the service, we have to create a district. Would you mind passing a petition?
There you go.
That would be the first thing. Then that would come to us, and then we would put out a questionnaire, an official questionnaire from the town, basically asking all the residents in a proposed district what they thought. Before then, we'd have to actually analyze. How often are we going to do it? Twice a summer, twice a fall? What's the manpower? What's the equipment cost? And we're going to have to calculate how much that's going to cost per resident, and that would be included in the questionnaire because by then we will have boiled down the district, the amount of work that it could be, what the effort is, how much that's going to cost. And then based on the feedback, like we did with the sidewalk district along Route 48, you know, what was the ratio? Was it 2-1 in favor?
Mm-hmm.
Was it 50-50? You know, then we would, if it was found that the majority of the residents wanted it, then we would go and do a map plan and report for a district. And based on that, then the residents would have time to challenge it if enough of them wanted to do that.
But let me play devil's advocate.
Come down to a vote. Hang on 1 second, Bob.
I'm sorry.
And then based on that, if it moved forward, then we could put in place the service. But very different than a village service where you know, you come up with a village tax and it covers all services.
I mean, I've got enough to do.
I know. I appreciate that.
I have enough to do, but people ask for it.
You're responding to requests.
Yeah, that's their request.
And Doug Foster over in Van Buren, they just did this. Van Buren just considered creating a yard waste district.
Did they?
So if you called Doug, he'd probably have a ton of information for you.
Did they create it?
I don't think so.
Just a final question.
My concern is getting people's hopes up. Because that sounds all well and good, Joe. But you know what? When you put it all together, the town's going to get $2,000 from this district. And it ain't going to help this guy out one bit because I'm thinking, and you better be flat out with the amount of work you're doing now. Mm-hmm. I hope there's no, oh man, what are we going to do today? I hope you're not saying that to me because there's no amount of money that's going to come in that's going to be able to make, you know, magic time for him and his crew because I don't want to hire new people to do this. And maybe we ought to just say right now, you know what, we hear you. But we've got enough to do, and there's no amount of money that can offset the cost in terms of personnel management that it's going to require for us to do this. So I don't want to get people's hopes up.
Well, no, and I don't want it either. But I really like Jerry's new to this position, and one of the benefits of having somebody new come in is they're open to new ideas and concepts. I mean, maybe it doesn't come down to. We go house to house to house to house. Maybe on one of our stub streets, we create a drop-off once or twice a year, and we go out to those stub streets with a loader
and clean up.
Right. That's kind of what I had in mind, but came to pass.
So Jerry, I guess what I'm saying, and I'm one of four here, one of five on the board, is, explore the space, man. But to Bob's point, let people know that
enough of them have to want it and be willing to pay for
and
it.
No, because that may not be good enough. Because basically, you Answer this question. Are you flat out now, Jerry, with the amount of work? Because if you aren't, then maybe we have to. Maybe you're too heavy in your personnel.
Good luck with that.
Okay. Well, then, so. Then if you are flat out, meaning you've got stuff to do every single day, I don't care if it's once or twice a year that something extra added to mm-hmm. your plate. And everybody's complaining about roads not being improved enough and whatever. You know, you've got enough. You're fixing a ditch on my road. That's
yes,
because of the attention that I talked
no.
to Al about.
You know why we're doing it the way we're doing it?
You're
though?
Doing it the right way, but it's extra work, okay? Yep. And then if you have to add to that picking up brush or Christmas trees or whatever you're going to pick up, where's it going to come out of? Yeah.
This is, you know, in all honesty, this is the only time of year right now you've got that lull, okay? And that's why I say a spring and a fall. Those are your two lulls in the whole year where right now, we're waiting on what you see out that window right now to quit doing that. It's snowing right now. So we're in a kind of a quandary, if you will, as to, like, we got up to your street and worked on that because it was an open ditch, and we could do it.
But you still need to be
right.
ready to go fight.
Yeah, so the
but we have to do dig safes, and we have to prepare to do even a little culvert job. And you only have so many days. You wait for them to mark it, and then within so many days of them marking it, we have to act on it.
Yeah.
Okay? Or we have to do it all over again. We already ran into that once this year because the weather turned. So are you flat out every day? Hell no, you can't be. Not with weather like this. You know, we've got an awful lot we want to do,
but
get Mother Nature to cooperate.
When you tell the community you are going to be there on April 7th, you got to stop what you're doing and be there on April 7th.
Or designate two men to take care of it for that weekend or whatever. You know, I'm just saying, this is just a discussion.
Yeah, I mean, this happens in the village, for example. Yeah. I mean, this is a part of their service.
They threw dates out in their head.
They throw dates, but if they can't make the date, they don't go.
Right.
And it'll sit there an extra day until you take care of the snow, and then you go back.
There's a priority list.
Yeah, and if it comes down to a point where you're just dropping off to a stub street, and you don't get there on a specific date,
nobody's harmed.
No one's harmed because you're not plowing the stub street anyways.
Right.
You know, you're probably picking up couches and chairs and televisions on the stub street underneath the rubbish. Underneath
you don't know. But I would not. Don't get discouraged.
Oh, I'm not discouraged. I could. I'm just throwing it out there because it keeps getting asked.
Yeah.
You know,
does it make sense out in the country?
Not so much.
I was
thrilled to hear that Radisson already had it. You know, they've got their manpower, they've got their homeowner association fee, they're picking up the brush. Good. If Clinton Heights wanted it and Abbott Farms didn't, I don't have a problem with that. You know what I mean? But
what are they doing?
Radisson's out of my picture. Yeah. That's a pretty big part of my township.
So is the northern part of the village.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not talking about a huge, I'm not raking leaves for you here.
A handful of development.
Yeah.
Could be Indian Springs, could be Clinton Heights. I'll give you an example.
Right.
A friend of mine lived in Clinton Heights and got sick of dealing with his Christmas tree, got sick of, you know, he had a fair amount of yard waste every year, called the service and asked them what they would charge to come out and pick up whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he was quoted $500 a year. So it's, you know, there's a lot of research that's got to go into this. And you will run into problems. You'll have idiots that put couches out there.
Yep.
But check it out.
Yeah.
And check out, you know, what.
Well, I'll just answer the people along the lines of what you're talking about and see how much effort they want to put into it.
Exactly.
You know, if they're willing to go out and do a grassroots approach to it, track by track, I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
You know, like you said, Stubbs Street drop-off. Yeah, you'll get a few oddball things tossed in there. I'd rather the couch got tossed in that Stubbs Street than in my ditches and culverts.
But it sounds like you're kind of encouraging them to think like that. And I'm sitting here thinking we should figure out if we even want to venture down this path. Because I feel like we're going to get boxed into this thing, the way this conversation is going tonight. And I'm not. Maybe it's the right thing to do. Since the first time hearing this, I'm not comfortable with it, and I don't want to get people's hopes up. And I don't want you saying to them, "Well, why don't you put, you know, team together, see if you're interested in a district?" No, we're not saying we're going to do a district. And you've
say
already
we
told
were.
Me. Well, it, depending on how you talk to them, they may get the impression that that's the way to solve this problem.
Yeah, no, I think I yeah. So when you talk to them, yep. If enough people.
Good highway committee topic.
Yeah.
Yes.
We need.
That's a good idea. Highway committee topic.
Yep.
Before we talk to anybody.
And we're going to have representatives in our citizens group
mm-hmm.
that might be a resource for you as well.
Well, when they ask, just have an answer for them.
Okay. All right.
You know?
Yep.
And then you wanted to talk about snow plowing cost per mile.
Yeah, I just want to let you know that we keep getting quizzed about salt usage. I wasn't here for the last meeting, okay? And I just want to educate the board, I guess, as to how this truly works. When you throw a salt budget out there of $195,000, and it shows that in 2018 we've used 123 of it already, I don't want you to get too nervous about that. Okay, because I'll just use the example. I just ordered 400 ton of salt yesterday. Are we intending to use that right now? No. I'm hoping we don't. Jeez, you know, you keep looking outside. But what you have, there's a lot more things that enter into this than what you're looking at this number on a paper and you get all shaky when it's only March and you see, gee, 123 out of 195 is gone. It doesn't mean a damn thing. Okay. I've got almost a half a barn of salt right now. I have a 6,000 ton allotment for the season, okay, at the current county price. Now, I don't know about you, but in the history of the highway, and I've got guys who have been there 35 years have told me they've only ever saw the salt price go down twice, okay, through your county purchasing. So I'm not up against my allotment yet. I'm not out of money yet. And the salt ain't going to spoil sitting in that barn. So I'm going to load that with as much at $42 and change per ton as I can. And it'll be there for me come fall. Now, this 400-ton order I put in right now, that order will cost me about $17,000. Okay, and when that order is fulfilled, I'll still have like $34,000 left of that $195,000.
I think I'm not concerned about $124,000 being spent the first quarter of this year. I'm only concerned if that number has an impact on the $195,000 you were budgeted. So
the impact, you know, as far as what?
In terms of by December 31st, are you going to have enough salt?
I would assume so, based on
$195,000.
Yeah. Yes, we should be fine.
Oh, well, then there's not a problem.
I mean, you know, yes, you look back at the last 2 years, the amount of salt that was actually used and budgeted. I mean, you look 3 years back and you see a 234 in 2016 and you only use 73,000 in salt. I mean, a lot of that, and I don't know how your tabulations are, whether it's the seasonal or whether it's the calendar. Okay, are you following me? So, you know, if you go calendar, January to December 31, that's one thing. If you go season from, let's say, October 1 to April 1 or April 19th, that's another. You know, and it depends on Mother Nature, what you're actually going to use. Now, the last two winters were pretty light. So you had a 234, then you went to 190, but you kicked it up to 195. I don't know why or how you arrived at that figure, but what I intend to do anyway, as a special project, and again, some of that will explain itself to you here in a little bit. I want to analyze my town of roads based on the miles of the roads in certain areas, how many tons of salt are going on. Now, everybody talks about computerization and automation and all that. It's not going to work as well for us as it does for someone that's zipping down the thruway at 50 miles an hour, constant speed, applying a constant 150 pounds per mile. You can't do that in Radisson when you got 67 cul-de-sacs. It isn't going to happen. Too much stopping and starting. The automation is a fallacy. Okay. When my guys come to an intersection, they'll hit the blaster to put a little extra down at the intersection. Do you know how many intersections we have in Radisson? I don't. There's a damn lot of them. So I'm going to go through and make this a special project where I know I have two trucks that plow all of Radisson, and I know when they leave the shop, they're leaving with a full load, and they can do their whole route in a load, come back and refuel and regroup for the next pass. So I can get a handle on how many pounds they're actually spreading in the whole of Radisson. I can do that truck by truck, route by route, and the miles of road they're covering. Now you'll get, because you can do all kinds of computerization and spreadsheets, it isn't going to tell you what you need to know, where the salt's going, what roads it's going on, who's using more per mile, you know, and why. So I'm going to make this a special project so we can really get a handle on where it's going. Okay.
So, and you've already said that you feel that you're going to have enough.
Oh, yeah.
So,
because.
So I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
This number up here is a little scary.
No. That was dropped from the year before, too, if you look at it. And you're.
It was dropped for a reason.
Well.
Well, I'm looking in the middle column.
Yeah. I'm looking at the far right ones. Okay. And I'm also looking at, again, the last couple of winters were a lot lighter than this one. We all know what it's been like. We soon forget, okay, that we were out. We plowed.
That's Jerry. Hey, Jerry. I went back a little further.
That's all right.
I wanted to, and I said I was going to do this. Dave went back, and you know, you wonder why we come to the numbers we come to when we budget, and you know, it's based on
history.
History.
Yep.
And so, yeah, that's why. That's why it's caught our eye, because.
But I can't imagine that. I mean, I'm looking at 2008, let's say, okay, and you're showing 50,728 went out the door, all right, in that season. Do I remember what that winter was like? No, not off the top of my head, okay. And the budget was 101, all right, back in 2008 when the men were making less per hour, had the same number of men because you haven't increased that since I think 79. So that hasn't changed. So that's a constant. And but their wages have changed since 2008. You're talking 10 years ago.
Yeah, but.
So an increase in an hourly wage is an increase in your time and a half cost. So, you know, it skews everything. And looking at it, even back in 08, you had 101,000 budgeted. That must have been based on the previous years prior to that. So if you had 101 there and you got me at 72 now,
that's not necessarily true, and I'll tell you a dirty little secret that boards do sometimes.
Oh,
sometimes
yeah.
They'll put more money in a line item
mm-hmm.
because they happen to have money, and they when they either want to build a fund balance,
mm-hmm.
Knowing that they're not going to use it and there's going to carry over. So the budget, this board, the opinion that, or the method that this board uses is historical. It's based on historical use of overtime.
Well, correct.
And so if you go 2015, so that's, that was that really cold year when we used a ton of salt, 137,000 ton.
No, that's $137,000.
All right, how many tons?
I've spent that now.
Okay, so what I'm just saying, so that was a severe winter. Let's
and
say
this,
that that
this
was a
is
severe.
Too, based on the snowfall amounts, we're up around 160 inches.
But
that's
in,
well
but
above
in,
average.
But in 2015, the labor rates weren't that much different than right now, and we only spent $50,000 in overtime.
Yeah.
So, look it, I've just...
All I want to say to you is that this is something that we have to pay. There's no escaping it. There's no cut. The other thing I needed to know when you hit me with this was these numbers here. When you show me the 72, does that include my part-timers? My wingmen?
I don't.
Are they? I mean, they get some overtime sometimes. Even in a week as a part-timer, they'll get
if
enough
they, if
hours.
They get over hours.
Oh
yeah.
Hell yeah!
Well, if it's going to be included in overtime.
All I'm just wondering where they fit into this.
They must be in here.
You know what I mean?
Is overtime.
The problem, Jerry, is that if you take 2015 as a rough year, what you spent this year is 40% more, almost half as much again from what you spent in 2015. 40% more than 50,000 is 70,000. And 2013, when we spent $60,000, it's 15% more. So what goes through my head, not a highway guy, is Did the guys go out at any time when they might not have had to go out and they got overtime for it?
Maybe twice that I can think of where we erred on the side of safety, preventative, if you will. One of them that jumps to mind perfectly is the morning that school should have been closed and wasn't. And everybody was bitching the buses couldn't get up the road. My guys had been out from 3 to 7 that morning salting and scraping what minimal snow we had at the time. And then we got dumped on at 7 o'clock and they went right back out again. But so that is a situation where maybe, I mean, if we had a crystal ball and knew we were going to get a foot of snow from 7 to 9 a.m. that day, we could have waited.
When were most of your overtime hours generated? In the morning?
They generally are. Well, actually, if you looked at it, we had a lot of wind drift issues this year on the weekends.
We had some Sunday snows.
Yeah. We had a lot of it.
Because I do pay attention to it a little bit. So, well, I guess the only thing... One second, I'm sorry. Just... It's highlighted here,
mm-hmm.
So it's on our minds. All I want is for it to be, and I'm sure it already is, but I want it to be on your mind.
It's always on my mind.
I understand. I said that.
Every time I dial the phone at 2 a.m. and say I need you guys, I know what it's doing.
Right.
Well, yeah, and just to use your network, like call around. How is Doug doing on his overtime? How is Cicero doing on their overtime? How's Clay doing on their overtime?
Well, I'll tell you, an awful lot of watching, and we monitor the state, and we monitor the county. We actually have a scanner where we can listen to when they're going out. You know, you kind of get a feel for it. I'm going to tell you there's been a whole lot of salt dumped on 31 that didn't need to be, and a whole lot of salt dumped on River Road that didn't need to be.
Yeah, but that's different than what you
said.
Well,
what I'm saying to you is you're saying what are the neighbors doing?
Only in the sense of they spend 40%
apples to apples.
More
don't look at the county and don't look at the state.
Well,
I mean, 2018
two different worlds.
40% more extraordinary than any other year back to 2008. I think that's the question. And
well, I guess what I'm thinking here is you're making it sound, Bob, like I'm throwing money out the door.
No. Look,
okay?
Guys.
Okay.
So get off of that.
I err on the side of safety for our residents. I don't care whether it's 2 in the morning, midnight, 6 p.m. If they need to go out there and make our residents safe and you're going to have to pay the overtime for it, that's what's going to happen.
No, that's not what's going to happen, Jerry. It's just not going to happen.
It's not?
No, it's not, because we have a fiduciary responsibility to the town.
So what are you going to do, Bob? Guys, never mind. There's 6 inches of snow out there on the ground. Go ahead and wreck your car. Sue the town. Because you didn't plow the roads.
No, I think
you can't do that.
Let me just get involved here, because there's two sides of the conversation. Jerry, I hear you,
Jesus.
But you're three and a half months into a brand new job.
Just but listen, I'm 56 listen, years listen, and running a business and paying listen, men too. We listen, don't pay just, people
Jerry,
unnecessarily, Bob.
Jerry, take a listen. Just listen.
We know that
you're 3.5 months into a brand new job. Okay, you're doing a great job. When our eyebrows get raised from a money standpoint, you need to respect the fact, we respect the fact that you have a huge responsibility, and that is you clear the roads, you make the roads safe. There's a lot of responsibility on your shoulders. We have a huge responsibility in that we manage taxpayer dollars to help you do that. So we need to be able to communicate with each other. So when our board expresses concern, instead of getting upset and defensive...
Oh, I'm not upset about that. I'm just upset about the approach.
Well, okay, but there's...
The condescending attitude.
No.
Don't ever do that.
Okay, let's do this. All I'm asking, because I'll do it too, is call around and see if that's the norm. Because what you've had to depend on, I'm not a highway superintendent, never been a highway superintendent. None of the people on this board are. You have some that live in the area that were.
Mm-hmm.
But you have an organization that you belong to.
Mm-hmm.
Reach out to them, because right now you've had to rely on and depend on the guys in your shop.
But what you're asking me to reach out and do is ask them if they plowed as much as we did.
Nope. That's not, I'm just.
That's kind of the way it's coming
across.
You want to gauge
what their experience on this winter has been in these factors. How much salt have you put out, and where are you as far as your overtime allocation? That's all you need to ask them. And if they say, geez, Jerry, we've definitely used more salt, we're okay on overtime, or we're up on both, or just gauge it. Because if everyone comes back and says, we're average on salt and we're average on overtime, you know, then there's something to learn from. I'm not being critical. Maybe a style is coming across.
Yeah.
But this is good. This is a good conversation. You're new to the job. It's important that you understand that we respect what you're responsible for, but you need to respect what we're responsible for. And there's always going to be somewhat of a,
well,
you know, that
just
is,
so
that's
you
by
know,
design.
There's an explanation for the dollars spent.
Okay.
There's if you think when you highlighted that I didn't look at it, okay, and consider it. Right here are the number of plows for this season, and you and I both know they usually don't come during the normal work day, because the inherent beauty of the beast is the residents want these roads plowed when they leave their house to go to work in the morning. We want them plowed so the school buses can pick up the kids. So what does that do? That puts us on a four-hour route, let's say, 3 to 4 hours, based on the conditions. And so that puts us, to get that job done, the trucks leave the barn at 3 in the morning, and they're back by 7. That gets that job done. Now you do your other maintenance and breakdowns and things like that, and boom, you're sending them back out at 11 or 12 o'clock to do it again, to stay ahead of the afternoon commute so that the people can get home, the kids can get dropped off safely, okay? Now you're within your clock, so in that one 12-hour span, you've paid out 4 hours overtime times 9 guys plus the wingmen, okay, for that 4 hours. Now, if it continues to snow and we've got it cleaned up at 3, we've had to go back out at 6 and do a quick run through that might take 2 hours. But the minute you need a quick run through to reopen Main so that emergency services can work and we can hold the roads until the next 3 a.m. normal go around, see, that's the problem. There's the inherent beast. You have one group of 9 guys doing this whole town, and your overtime is spaced because of your commute times. And you asked me a question about, well, gee, couldn't we shift their time? No, because it's not going to gain you anything. You know, you could have their day start at 3 a.m. and go to 11. There's their 8 hours. What are you going to do about the next 4 hours when you do it before the evening commute? So you're going to do it on one side or the other.
Well, right.
So,
and Jerry, I know.
I'm just like explaining the numbers. This was a lot of plowing got done this year.
Right, it did.
Even before I started.
And a lot of it did happen on Saturdays and Sundays.
Did.
I know that for a fact because, you know, because I'm out there on Saturdays, Sundays with this kind of stuff on my mind.
And it wasn't always a full complement. Where our biggest problems are is west of the village. The wind drifts out where you live, out where you live, the north-south roads. This was just the strangest.
Right. So, Jerry, I guess what I'm saying is, knowing that those weekend snows happen quite often this winter, I think it's a good idea to do what Joe said and see, because what might very well, you may very well find out that, yeah, because if it's snowing on Sunday here, it's snowing Sunday in Clay. You know, so
they're doing the same as us. Yeah, they're cleaning before a commute and cleaning again before a commute.
That's the point.
Right.
That's the point.
So they're hitting the same overtimes we are.
I apologize for coming off the way I did to you. I think if you just did what Joe did, just get a feel for what, you know, we know this was a bizarre winter, but just, you know.
It's not over yet. Look out there right now. Look behind you.
In the end, we as a group need to address.
This is a team. Budget is a team.
I understand all that.
Right.
I mean, but
if you don't have enough money to get
it's not
year,
like a lot of thought and thinking doesn't go into each and every item that I'm involved in.
And we know that you are. I mean, just the other stuff you brought to us today, you know, again, shows that you are thinking that way. So I don't want you to think that this group doesn't think you're out there winging it.
Well, you have to understand the numbers and what they mean. It's right. Not just a number on a piece of paper.
I just don't want you to take
that number represents an awful lot of stuff.
But in order for us to be able to have meaningful conversations, we can't get upset with each other because we're and a lot of it has to do with tone and style, how we talk to each other. We need to be able to ask each other challenging questions back and forth.
Oh, that's fine.
Because you're going to have your turn when you present us your budget. Okay? So we're all passionate here.
I just bring baseball bat.
Yeah. Well, but we need to be able to have a conversation back and forth without getting upset. That's it. That's it. You got a job to do. We got a job to do. We'll do it together. We're a team. That's how it should work.
But don't judge a number without me being present. Okay.
And no, we didn't.
You know what I'm saying? And not think that it's willy nilly just thrown out there. Okay.
We know that.
I've done it the way I've done it my entire life, managing men, people, and budgets. And you don't accomplish what I have without having an eye on the prize. Right. So,
but you've never been highway superintendent.
It's just a different business with the same kind of toys. So.
Well, okay.
We
need to be able to work together.
Yep. Yes.
All right. So we'll move further.
Don't worry. One more thing.
Another.
And then Route 31 path walkway Radisson Mowing Care Highway Department.
Yes.
This has come up before.
Yep. And when people say we're responsible for something in a state highway easement, it kind of gets my hair up a little bit. And so I did a little backward looking, and that is this pile of papers, which is everything to do with the walkway that goes from Drake's Landing down to the Belgium Bridge that was done and discussed and motioned. And when it was all said and done, when you read through all these documents and the responses back and forth from the clerk to the RCA to everything else.
Who's supposed to maintain it?
I guess we own it.
We do.
Okay. But the maintenance issue, there's one piece of this puzzle that was never brought forward, and his name is escaping me right now, but I guess he was probably... Huh? Oh,
no. Ahead.
I guess he was probably the RCA figurehead at the time, before Lynn Tanner. Okay. His name is in the papers here. Not on the tip of my head right now. But there was there it is, Rob Schwarting. Okay. We've been in touch with the RCA, and the RCA is willing, although I don't have this in black and white, other than Rob Schwarting's letter, they have expressed an interest in taking title to and maintaining the bike path on the north side of Route 31. Well, that kind of lets me out of it, but we haven't been able to find this letter, okay? And I guess the last couple of years, we've been mowing it and maintaining it. We just had a tree fall on the fence down there, and we had to go down there, expend our, you know, manpower and hours to do that. Well, if it ain't mine, I don't want to take care of it, okay? I mean, we've got cemeteries, I guess, we take care of, you know, you know, we're going to have enough to do with 13 miles of road and ditches and culverts and everything else. So,
what are you going to do? Just more research on this?
I don't know. I don't know where to go with it now. This is everything that came from the clerk's office.
What are the dates on it?
Give me a date. This goes back to all the way back to 01. Janet did a lot of good work for me here. There's a September of 01. This is the motion that was finally had and adopted. I believe is right there, the resolution number. But then there was discussion, and during that discussion, it kind of like abruptly ended, and this letter from this Rob, I think it was Schwarting, is nowhere to be found. So
was the motion passed?
The motion passed for us to own it. But then they were supposed to discuss further about who was going to maintain it.
We
didn't maintain it for years.
Yeah, we've been maintaining it
for a couple of years.
We've been taking maintenance responsibility following construction of the bike path and walkway under the new Belgium Bridge from River Road to Woods Road. And the supervisor be authorized to execute on,
Yeah, we've done this in the past.
Like,
have you?
Even though I agree with you,
Charlie, I agree.
It's one of those clear as mud deals.
And I thought of it last week because I saw the tree, laying across the fence.
So we went down, got it off the fence. And we do kind of.
I think a car.
Kind of, sort of, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. Do I.
It's a kind of sort of.
If I go back in history and slap around the board and say, "What are you thinking about? Why are we going to?"
There's days.
Okay. Maybe I would, but the motion was passed and approved.
Right.
No other action was taken as far as.
But it did sound like Radisson was willing to, mow it, maintain the walkway. We had ownership. The question became, did we want to transfer ownership to them?
When they built the bridge,
and they kind of said, "Well, no, you don't have to do that. We'll just maintain it."
Yeah.
Well, now they want us to maintain it, but they've got all these guys riding around on little mowers and that, and they're already there in the area. I'm like, why do we have to pack up, and go over there and mow the grass for 2 days down that runway?
Well, let me just put it this way. Radisson is having the same issues that every other municipality in the state is. They desperately wanted us to mow that patch of grass in between MBT Bank and the gas station.
One's on their side.
Yes, okay, I know what you mean.
We didn't. We found that we were not responsible for that, so we do not maintain that.
Right.
Chair, could you make copies of all this stuff for us?
I could.
Well, you don't have to make it. Just get someone to, because I'd like to get a copy of this. And that way we could all take a look at it. I think
it was just something that, was brought to my attention when the tree fell on the fence, and I'm like, what do you mean we got to go down there and take care of it? That's a state road.
Right.
And then things start to come out.
I'm glad you're asking.
And so I don't just accept it. I ask questions.
Before we get into the tablet plans, I don't want to run out of room.
Let us read through them, okay?
Yeah, okay. Make some copies.
Actually, you can have all these.
You know what? Give them to me. I'll make copies.
Make a determination and just let me know before it's time to mow grass,
unfortunately,
will you?
Unfortunately, I think it was already made.
Yeah. Well...
But we'll see if there's wood.
I'd like to know about that letter.
Just a year or two ago, we hired Lysander Construction to fix the fence.
And it needs to be fixed again now.
Yep. This was under the bridge.
The place is cursed.
That fence was fixed by the insurance company, the guy, the drunk driver.
Yes.
Who put that hole in the fence.
Yes.
Right. Oh, different deal.
We hired Lysander Construction at the insurance company.
You're right.
Okay.
Right.
But this wasn't,
for everybody to read that.
This wasn't a drunken car. This was Mother Nature dumped a tree on it. So,
okay.
Workplace safety.
I'm just looking for clarification.
Workplace violence. I mean, I know the preface to my comments is that I know we have to do this, and I know it's New York statewide. But there were two specifics in our recommendations that caught my eye, and I just want to ask some questions. Page 22.
Okay.
Right at the bottom. At the bottom, work practice controls number 2. All employees were advised at a department head meeting that if he or she feels unsafe working after hours, that he or she should not work after hours. And I'm just wondering we're basically saying to any and all employees that if we need to be open for some reason, some vote, some special thing we're doing, we need you to work whenever. Well, I don't really feel safe about that. Okay, you don't have to work. I think that's really opening up a can of worms, Joe. And then the second one, and this is true of the highway department on page 23 as well, it says number 3, it is expected that all employees in the field carry a cell phone on their person or have access. Are we providing cell phones to everyone?
No, but we give them a $50 check every year so that they will use their phones twice a year.
Okay, and that's...
So they have that.
Okay, but it's understood that we're not providing a cell phone to... That's just the highway department.
Yeah.
Right.
But what about others? Is there... are we...
We're all parks department.
What about the parks department? What about Al? What about, I don't know who else goes out in the field at any point in time. But
as far as we know, everybody that works here has a cell phone and is willing to use the cell phone without the $50 allotment.
Right. But does number 3 open us up to, we're adopting this forever, right?
No. We're going to review this in September. This is a working document. So let me give you some history on this. One of our employees called the Department of Labor and said that they weren't comfortable with where we were with our workplace violence program. Not just policy, the program in general. Department of Labor shows up unannounced, does an inspection, finds that in fact there were some things missing from previous work done that it wasn't completed. We've taken the information that was provided to us. A lot of the work had been done. Employees were interviewed. Answers to those concerns had been come up with, but we didn't put it into a specific program. All we've done is taken that and put it into a formal document that we will then review completely in September, because some of the recommendations, we're going to ask the employees again, what are your concerns? And they can be completely different than what was researched before. Some of them may have an impact on how we allocate resources next year. Maybe we want our yard secured. Maybe we want rolling gates to our highway yard. Maybe we want fobs for our highway department. Maybe, who knows what it could be. It could be anything. But this is a working document. Right now, we do not have a working document. And we're on the clock to get this thing done.
Okay.
And so this is the hit. This is where we are. We will revisit this in September, October, at the end of the summer, so that we can get ahead of.
I know. But
and Dave's here, and he can probably join us in this conversation, because he and I have been working very closely on this.
But item J says to adopt the town of Lysander workplace violence program. It doesn't say anything about temporary. It doesn't say that's a work in progress. And, you know, if you eliminate item 2, I think I would be more inclined to vote for this, because I don't understand how we're empowering employees to just say.
So where was that? Page 22, number 2.
Work practice controls.
Page 22, number 2.
Engineer
team practice.
Right here. It's these two right now.
All employees were advised at a department head meeting that if he or she feels unsafe working after hours, that he or she should not work after hours.
That's a true statement.
And it's a work practice control. So
we can't. I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to mandate someone work after hours if they don't feel safe. Good luck with the Department of Labor on that one. That's what it comes down to.
Seriously.
Guys, I'm telling you, the Department of Labor came down hard on us. They are agreeable to this. This has been presented to our union. They are fine with this. This is the document that I recommend we move forward with now until September, until we review this again. At which time we're going to take another survey. This has very little to do with what we're comfortable with. This is everything to do with what our employees are comfortable with in their work environment.
But playing devil's advocate, Joe, if your comptroller doesn't feel safe coming in after hours, and he said, I don't feel safe coming in here, then we don't have a comptroller at our meetings. If the town clerk doesn't feel comfortable or safe after hours, then we don't have a town clerk at our meetings.
I think it's more being the only person in the building.
But it doesn't say that, Dave.
No. So once a statement is made of concern, that's on record. We have an employee who feels unsafe in this environment.
It was an issue that was raised.
Yeah, we make a determination.
About being alone in the building?
Yeah, we make a determination on how we address that. And that stands on its own. This is the recommendation as it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to change this, and you want to provide 24/7 security for the building, or you want to address that concern in another way, we can do that. But this is what was come up with to address this concern now.
Okay, so let's say this doesn't cause any difficulty at all. We review it in September, everything's cool. From now to September, though, all of a sudden we find that people aren't, to Bob's point, employees aren't showing up for this or that or whatever, and the reason they're not showing up is because they don't feel safe. It becomes an issue with our employees. At that time, we review this and we say, all right, we've got to change this because it's posing an issue with our workforce.
That's our determination. We make that determination.
Yeah, that's why you find a way to address it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so, I would rather find a way to address it now before it gets put into writing, David, that someone can say, I don't feel safe.
But,
well, let's find out why you don't feel safe and let's see.
We have addressed it, and I'll give you an example. our judges came to us and said, we need security on DA night. We don't feel safe on DA night. So how do we respond? We provided a sheriff. We're able, we have that flexibility.
But the solution here, Joe, is that he or she should not work after hours. You don't have to come to work. As opposed to say that the town will work with that employee to provide mechanisms to provide a level of safety that the employee warrants, needs. I wouldn't say that either. Okay.
Very few of our employees come to work after hours anyways. And most of the time, the employees that are here have security while they're here. It's very rare. Maybe Parks comes in on a weekend.
You're setting yourself up, Joe, for someone to say, I don't feel safe. I'm not coming in this weekend.
Yeah, so if we word it the way you are suggesting, and the clerk says, I'm not coming to work unless there's a security guard with me.
Okay, then...
Then you've taken the problem and you've multiplied...
Then come up with different wording. I was right off the cuff here. I don't know what the right word is.
Give me an example of an employee. Give me one example of a town employee that we would have an issue with staying in. Every employee that works after hours has security, has as much security as they're comfortable with right now.
But all it's saying is in the future, if an employee all of a sudden starts feeling unsafe, then all they have to do is not come to work and they won't be penalized.
This is after hours, though. So why should they be expected to have to work after hours if they're the only person here?
It doesn't say only.
I don't care. What if there's two people in the building and it's a female and there's a guy and she's not comfortable because she doesn't feel safe? You're going to say, oh, you know what? We're going to make you work. There's somebody else here.
No. I think this needs to be worked on a little bit better because it seems like it's just too black and white, and we're changing a protocol here. And I'm dealing on principle, not dealing with specific people that I know or instances. It's a protocol that we're saying, you know, you hire somebody to do a job, and one of their jobs is to come to a meeting at night. Well, you know, I don't feel safe. I'm not going to come to that meeting. Really?
Bob, we've addressed it.
This is after hours.
Our employees don't work after hours.
Yes, they do.
Unless they're in a plow truck and they have cell phones available to them.
It doesn't say that. All it says is that if they don't feel safe, then they don't have to come to work. That's all it says, Joe.
Look at the title, Bob. My tenor will increase with yours. So let's try to keep that under control. Town Hall Office.
Yeah.
Town Hall Office employees.
Okay.
Not highway. Town Hall Office.
Yeah, I know.
This is specific.
Just the office.
This is everybody in this building, including the Parks Department.
Anybody working after hours that does not feel safe, we're not going to mandate that they come in. When they say that they don't feel safe, we have every ability to make them feel safe, like we did on DA night when we added security. Our town hall employees do not work after hours, typically. And if they do, they work here and they're comfortable. If they weren't comfortable, we wouldn't make them stay here.
They're comfortable now. And someone in the future may say, I'm new here and I'm not comfortable.
Then we would address it.
But it doesn't say you're going to address it. All you're saying is that the only address to that issue is they can stay home. Do what you think is right here. I'm voting this one. I'm not voting in favor of this.
Well, what would you propose? Because what you proposed won't work.
Okay, then I guess nothing will work.
Okay, well then we'll call it to a vote because it's $200 a day for us to come up with better wording. Is there anything else in this?
No, that was it, Joe.
Okay, and you're going to vote no on that one piece?
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions on it?
Nope, I'm good.
All right, let's take, tablets. Tablets. We looked at AT&T and we looked at Verizon. Those were the only two.
These are tools needed for good soldiers.
These are two, well, there's two things here. One, highway needs high-speed internet. They haven't had fiber or high speed. They have a copper line. It's dial up. It's what it is. So what I would recommend to the board to consider would be the middle solution. So you've got the six tablets, you got four tablets, and then you got the six tablets on the other on the bottom part here. They all include the MiFi device. The MiFi is going to give high-speed internet to the highway department. Keeping in mind, the highway department is supposed to be the backup facility to this facility. I'm telling you right now, if this facility went down and we had to move operations there, it'd be like we might as well move to Iran.
I have one phone line.
I mean, maybe Iran has high-speed internet all over the place, but I'm guessing they don't.
Bad example.
Bad example.
You probably have more than one phone line.
Yeah, so we have one phone line. Wi-Fi allows us access to high-speed internet. I don't think we need to go more than six tablets. The tablets, smartphones are available to Al, myself. Most of the work that's going to be done by Tony Birkinshaw is going to be done on his desktop as he assigns work from his desk to the park. So the tablets, one tablet would be located in the park barn. Two tablets would be located in codes when they go out for inspections. And the other tablet would be given to Greg Maxwell when he goes out as well to do assessment reviews. The only other tablet I might consider is giving one to Jerry if he agreed to utilize it for Dude Solutions. If you're on board with Dude Solutions, I'll get you a tablet. Otherwise,
not my notes for your executive session.
For executive session?
Yeah. I asked for something to do with personnel. Did you get that?
Yes, I sent an email to them.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't see that.
So,
okay, we'll talk about that. But so my recommendation is to...
Okay, so these tablets are not meant for the highway department. These six tablets, Moles by Highway and tablet. So this is not...
No, it's so okay. Are you looking at... Make sure you get the same one I've got, because I'm not seeing the bold. What are you looking at, Pete?
We got two of these. This was in the box, and this was attached in there.
Which one is
this? This is the AT&T mobile hotspot at Highway Garage and tablet computers, Verizon versus AT&T.
Yeah, but we have two versions of it. One adds up to $2,639, and this one adds up to $2,689.
Yeah, I got one.
This is the one Dan gave me yesterday.
Yeah, this is the one I'm working off of right here. So go to this one.
Which I don't have that one.
Here.
It's the bold one.
Thank you.
So this one's no good?
I only received...
No.
Here, give me that. I'll get rid of that.
So it's 2 minutes to seven. Are we voting on this tonight?
We don't have to. The highway department has gone without high-speed internet for decades. Forever. You want to take it? If we wanted to give Jerry one, it'd be another $29.
I'm sorry, is Jerry included in a six, or are you talking seven?
No, I'm talking four.
You're talking the middle column,
package, which is an annual cost of $1,919.40. That gives high-speed internet access to the highway department and four tablets. If you want to add a tablet for Jerry, it is another $30.
A month.
What about the tablets themselves? That's not included.
Four tablets are free with this middle plan.
Oh, they're free.
But the data plan is $30 per. Next time, right?
Yeah, Yeah, and so Verizon data plan. This is a 2 gig shared plan for tablets, $29.99.
Can we just put this off until next time? Because I'm not sure I understand any of this. I'm not trying to be difficult, but...
No, I don't care. I'll bring in David if you want. David Raleigh, he compiled the numbers. But this is... I was actually... really impressed with the cost, because we got costs on high-speed internet access cable line, and that was a cost of $15,000 to $20,000.
Yeah, that was a big number.
Oh, yeah. That's really...
All right.
Okay. Brief recess.
Brief recess to set up.